Et il reste 16. Brigé et Pasuk et Metola. Pasuk se décrit bas de taux, mais à saut, Belachecha. Honor Hashem that Shabbat should be different than the rest of the week. How do we fulfill this mitzvah of honoring Hashem? The Gemara says kavod means the garment of a person or clothes. Because Rabbi Yochanan said the clothes of a person are those that honor him. For example, how do you tell, how do you recognize a king? How does a king differ than an ordinary person? Because of the fact he wears royal robe, crown. So therefore, the clothes of a person are called his kavod. This pasuk therefore implied that you must show kavod to Shabbat by the clothes you wear. A Jew should have special clothes or Shabbat that are different than his weekday clothes. But the Kadosh says that this applies to every garment. But Ezel never wore in the same garment or Shabbat that you do for the weekday. Special garments that were worn only on Shabbat. In fact, the words he wore were all white, pure white. But in addition to, any garment being even the talit, it can be too bad for a person to have a separate talit for Shabbat than for the weekday. So that either the Shabbat he wears, it should be recognized as a bigot talit of Shabbat. Secondly, the Gemara says, not only should the clothes be different, but the speech of the person, the words of the person, the Shabbat should be different than his words during the week, which means that it is forbidden for a Jew to speak on Shabbat word of business or word that are spoken during the weekday. And from this we see that when we say work is forbidden on Shabbat, we include the speech too. Speaking is considered what so. It is an act of the weekdays, an act that is not Kodesh. Shabbat is called Shabbat Kodesh, and therefore the word of Shabbat must be only Bikstusha. Words of Torah, words of Pilah, words of holiness, words that if they are spoken on the weekday, pertaining to business, to politics, to social life, they should be avoided on Shabbat. The Dor HaKadosh Pesach Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal saw his own mother speaking on Shabbat. Toshavi. He said to her, "Mother, be silent. It is Shabbat today." This would not meant chasik alona, that respect. It meant only to teach us. He said it not for her sake, but for our sake, and the sake of the student. You know how serious it is to chasik alona defile, desecrate the Shabbat with the wrong type of word. Third, the Gemara says that your manner of walking on Shabbat should be different than that during the week. Now, this is something which the Gemara needed to say, referring to it as a sin. You're not allowed to take a big step on Shabbat. Big step is a wide step. Although, the Gemara people are taking a wide step even on the weekdays, it's forbidden. Because if you take a long step, extra long step, it affects the eyesight of the person. A little step, the Gemara says, takes away 1/500 of a person's eyesight. How come there are people who walk at long steps during the week, and yet after months and years their eyesight is not affected? The answer is that the cure or the harm to the eyesight is affected by the Kiddush and the Havdalah on Shabbat, especially the Kiddush. Person could say Kiddush. Look at the candle light on Shabbat. This is the greatest cure for a person's eyesight. It is said during Kiddush is that you look at the candle while you pray Vayechulu HaShemayim V'Ha'aretz. There are 35 words in that paragraph. And then you turn to the wine. You look at the wine, the rest of the Kiddush. There are 35 words in the rest of the Kiddush too. 35 and 35 make a total of 70 words. 70 in Hebrew, ayin. the letter ayin will definitely. The word ayin in eye means that an eye obscured by looking at the candle during the kiddush. Paying the kiddush is the one that cured the harm that is done to the eyesight during the week. So this is a matter of takana, of physical harm. On Shabbat, in addition to this, there is also an isur that if we sin and take a big step on Shabbat. However, the Yevana tells us that going to Bet Midrash, Sali, Daven, or to learn Torah, then, the contrary, it is a mitzvah to run to take a big step, because no longer is there the sin of taking a big step, for one thing, and no longer is there a sakana. You're going to a place of mitzvah, a person can be assured that no harm can come from doing the mitzvah. Since he's doing a mitzvah, running to beef to learn Torah, then he cannot be harmed in the act of doing a mitzvah. And therefore, they're going to be, even on Shabbat, removed both the sakana and the isur of taking a big step. Even if it's at the same time, an entirely different topic, but it's brought together, that if a person should eat from the earth of Babel is Iraq, or head of the first east of that earth, a person would say it would take a fruit. It wouldn't brush off some of the earth. It is as though the person is eating part of the flesh of his body of his forefather. And others say it is as though he is eating worm or rodent. Why is this? For one thing, in the time of the flood, the lowest level of all was Bavel. But an old body that died in the flood was swept into the area of Bavel. And there they were drawn, swept into the earth that became part of the earth. That practically the entire earth now is made up of his body. But this is only in reference to the rope. We cannot say these are his forefathers. They are not the flood. Those that died during the flood were not our forefathers. We are all dependent on Noah, the free son, who lived during the flood. So, therefore, the Yemena says that one who eats to the earth, to Bevo, it is a dough, he eats from the flesh of his forefathers, because this refers to something as Sidushad has said. The Jews were sent into exile in Babel, and there all the burial took place. There were so many who passed away there, and here it became filled with these bodies. Why don't we say that a person who eats in the earth says that it's Israel to the eating of the earth of his forefathers? That too is filled with bodies of so many hundreds or thousands of years of people buried there. Israel is that it's Israel. At all times, there was stress made to mark off graves, cemetery, the Torah called the Yun Kivarot, mark off the graves of those who are buried. And that's why, to this day, culpability, finding bodies, areas that are not marked off, are ever so slight. We cannot pay from the earth of anything below. Contains the danger of eating from people who are buried there. This, of course, stresses the point that Bazel, in general, is a very low type of land. It's low as far as sea level, as low as far as the earth itself, land is some est, but obvious on Tetsu Eric Yisrael, where the earth is fully thinking. A great evidence of that it is for a person who passes away, is buried and becomes part of this sacred earth, sacred store. Yemena says that Brachot, blessing, we stay over various items, any type of food, though these blessings all contain the name of Hashem in them, still, if a fire should break out on Shabbat, it is forbidden to rescue the pages upon which the blessings are written. There is a law that the Torah, for example, maybe say, you have Chumashil, the Brei Torah, he be brave bearer in case of fire. Pages of which are written as blessings alone, they are not holy enough to be spaced in case of fire. The trees are passage alone. You don't save them, and fire consumes the word, including Asifil the names of Hashem. Therefore, the Gemara says, how sinful it is for a person to write out these blessings on paper. He goes, what's they happen to them? This, of course, raises a big question about questionlessly. You cannot condemn it, we're not supposed to find fault without it. But there's a question how somebody's organization, the holidays, Hanukkah especially, prints up little cardboard or papers or pages with the berachot, the Irulai Hanukkah, or other type of berachot, and they mail it out. Most cases, of course, they do it in a way where they do not write out, they're not tell out Hashem's name. So you haven't got that danger. But some places that are ignorant of it, in fact, they do it. And there is, of course, the risk of having the major thing disregarded, known as the wastebasket, Chas v'Shalom, requiring the word of Kedusha. Bilvi Gemara says that it is forbidden for a person to write these brachot down on paper. If they do so, it is, and though they are burning Chas v'Shalom, these holy word. Gemara tells the story of one person, a city in Israel, who wrote these brachot down on paper, and people came and told Rabbi Ishmael about it. Ishmael was upset. He went to investigate, examine this person. While he was going up the steps to this person's home, that person became aware of the fact that Ishmael was coming, quickly took the packet, papers or pages, he put it into the pitcher of water that the water would automatically erase what was written on it. And the Ishmaels came, caught him in his act, and he bent to him the punishment. The second act is much greater than the punishment to the first act. Writing the word down, or the sin, or wrong, is a smaller punishment for it. Taking the page and deliberately putting it into water, that's to show me right to the name of Hashem, that's a much greater sin. And this, of course, is something that happens often, unintentionally. A person does something wrong by accident, and then when he realizes he did it, he tries to undo it, and in undoing it, he can do something much worse. A person puts on the light on Shabbat by accident, and then he sees what he's done. Without thinking, he puts it out. Now, the first act was a pure accident. Second one, knowing it's Shabbat, or reminding yourself of Shabbat, do it then, just practically doing it deliberately. So in the case where the second act could be worse than the first. That's why first he should always heat his senses about it, never to allow himself to lose his mind in a case of emergency myself. Yevetus says that in the Chumash, in Bamidbar, Rahalokach, you find chapter in the Chumash, in Parashah, consisting of the two set you. Vayhi bin So'ah Aaron, the Yomer Moshe, telling it about the fact that when the Aaron, Kodesh, was moved during the travel of the Jews in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu said special words as praised Hashem. This paragraph has just two sentences in it. What is unusual about this is that in the Sefer Torah, we find that preceding the big paragraph, there is a nun. It's the letter nun written backward, the opposite way. The end of these two sentences, the end of the chapter, the paragraph, there is another letter nun again written backward. This is called a nun hafpuch, opposite nun. Two nun that are opposite. The Rebbeinu brings up this question to why these two nun in hafpuchim. The Rebbeinu says that this paragraph does not belong in this spot. It belongs in the story of the Jews traveling in the desert. Why is the place here? Because we have at this point two bad stories about things that happened where the Jews said things that were wrong. In order not to have two consecutively, two evil acts, because that place this Shasta now separates the two. And the Nun, written backward, implies that general the letter nun is for mitpilah, falling down. For example, the Gemara says that in the Ashrei Techa, that chapter of Beilim, which we say in selling every day, you have the Aleph bit. Every time so referred to the Aleph bit. Every letter is there except the letter nun.
Why? Because let alone tis for the free life of folly,
for the b'nai omitzbet. B'nai only included the hiddenly, the hint, by letter samach, letter etter, known as Tomech Hashem Lachar Anof Lid, Hashem's support, Belto have fallen. We have that nun there hiddenly. The idea of a nun is dead, falling, and it was seized support. That's the, we look forward to the help of Hashem receiving support. Therefore, here too, though these bad things happen, we have the nun, the beginning nun at the end, show us that the nun is turned over, an opposite nun, to show that the mesila, the fall, will be turned over into an elevation by Hashem. And the Yehudah Nasi, known as Rebbe, says, this is Atarita. He tells us an unusual fidush here, a fantastic fidush. We know that there are five, we accept there are five Kumashiv, known as the five books of Moshe Rabbeinu. Whenever a person says, how many Kumashim are there? Kumash means five, clip. Then he says that there are not five Kumashim. There are actually seven. Remember Kumashim? That this chapter itself, one paragraph, is a Kumash in itself. It is so valuable, it is so precious. A chapter that it is equivalent to an entire Chumash. Therefore, since this chapter is in the middle of the Chumash Bamidbar, you now have this Chumash divided into three parts. The part Bamidbar, the spoil of Ibn Soh Haron, Ibn Soh Haron itself, and then the part that follows that chapter. You have three of that one-fifth. But the other four Chumashim, Bereshit, Shemot, Bikra, and Devarim, that makes a total of seven. And the Yudanasi says there are actually seven Kumashil and not five. The reason for the Nun, the two Nuns in this chapter is, if the Nun stands for Fisti, Nun is a letter, Bimetia Fisti, 50 degrees above wisdom, is the highest possible degree, and that means the Torah itself. That this chapter 2 is one that it is a setziat degree of wisdom, just as the rest of the Torah. Why is the Nun turned backward? Why the Tavuch? To show us that no person can get to this Nun. And even in this very chapter that is so small, you have Moshe Rabbeinu of me. Even so, I know the young man of Moshe. Show us that in this chapter, you have Moshe Rabbeinu Zayim, and he too only reached the 49th degree of wisdom. He noticed, turned over, to show that no one can reach the 70th degree. It's no other than ordinary lice, regular tradition. That is first the Moach Nun, Rabbeinu Zayim. Now again, we go back to the case of writing Hashem's name. Let us say that we spoke before about writing Barachot with Hashem's name on them. How about the Torah itself? A Chumash, which is the Torah, or even a Sefer Torah, which we say, Man Shabbat to bear the fire, but is it a Torah to save it? To save the Sefer Torah from being burned. What do you let us say? If this Sefer Torah is written by an Atikores, by one who does not believe in the Torah, which means he does not believe in the Gemara, he does not believe the Gemara is the word of Hashem, then we do not save this in case of a fire. Let it burn. Same words of the Sefer Torah, not one word added, not one word subtracted. With the names of Hashem written out, all four letters written out clearly. Yet, since it is written by an Apikfodes, this does not have any Siddusha at all. This is one rabbi. Second rabbi said, swearing by the life of his children to show how tensely he makes this statement. He said, I would not wait for a fire on Shabbat to let it burn. If I get hold one of these, the Friday written by these Atikoresim, I would take it myself
put it into the fire and destroy it, but the fire consume it with the names that I shed in.
Why?
Because if a person
is fleeing from someone who is trying to kill him,
or fleeing from a poisonous snake, but he has no way out but to run into a non-Jewish place of worship to save himself, he may do that. But he cannot run into a temple of these apikudasu.
They are worse than the non-Jewish place of worship. Why?
Because these non-Jewish
people or places are ones
who are kofrim. They do not believe. But that's because they don't know. They don't recognize the Torah as a Jew does. These apikudasim learn Torah, recognize Torah, and still they are kofrit. Still they refuse to accept the Torah. Therefore, they are worse than the worst pagans.
And that's why it's the words they write, the words of the Torah they write, have no value of kedusha whatsoever. If they didn't to use their word, the Torah, that is words that are exactly the same that we have in a Sefer Torah Kedusha. Imagine then, the Kol Shekein, more so, it is forbidden to read books written by these apikudasim, these philosophers, their own words, their own criminal statements of Kepida. How sinful it is to read these books written by them. This is speaking about Jewish kofinim. We can understand the danger and tum'ah of philosophy from here. Even it says that in a certain neighborhood of Rabbi Gamliel, Gamliel was the chief rabbi of the Jews, the Nasi of the Sanhedrin.
He was the father of Ima Shalom, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol.
Eliezer HaGadol, when he fed Tachanun, Anna, Gamliel's life was in danger. In that pilat, person prays to the downfall of his enemy.
Rabbi Gamliel's sister, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, watched over him.
Stop him, say. One day, he couldn't stop him. Kolia came to the door. She went to answer the door. She came back. She found
their Aldo was saying it. She said to him, "You have just killed my brother."
Truly, at that moment, Rabbi Gamliel was just awake. So, this, of course, is not related to that story, but it tells us about the case of Rabbi Gamliel
and his sister,
reference to a third philosopher. They were living in a time when the Romans had more power over the land of Israel, but that they were forced at times to be guided by the rule of these Roman judges. There was a judge, a philosopher there, who was known, publicized the fact that he'd never accept graft. Under no conditions he accept graft. Leo knew that this philosopher was Hameh throughout. It meant that certainly he would take grass. So, they arranged a trick. Came to this philosopher and said, our parents passed away, and the question is, do I receive a part of the inheritance equal to my brother?
Referring to Rabbi Leo,
her brother. She said to this philosopher, I have here a candelabra of pure gold. This was just a gift. The philosopher answered her. He said, it is written that if he answered you, you may receive half. You can divide equally with your brother. He really asked him, the Torah tells us, the law, that where there is a son, a daughter receives no inheritance at all. Why do you say that she can receive half? Philosopher answered, the day that the Jews went into Galut, then there is a new set of laws, new rule. This new set of laws says that a son and daughter shall share equally. The next day, Reuel went, came to him and said, I have a special mule, very expensive mule. This was more expensive than the candelabra of gold. He said, what do you say now? Elazar said, well, I didn't finish my sip yesterday. That the new book of rules written, which says that son and daughter share equally. But this is only for the non-Jews. The Jews, law is, the rule still remains that a daughter cannot inherit the face of a son. This was done in open court.
So Reuel's sister said to him,
wisdom shines like a candelabra, hinting at the fact that she had bought him a candelabra as graft. Reuel said to him, but a mule came, he kicked the candelabra, put the light out. The candelabra, meaning to say, I brought bigger graft to sway his opinion over the
lesser amount that his sister had bought.
Pointed out, though, of course, that they did not, as the Shalom, bring this actually. They only promised him this amount. And now they backed out, they beordered the deal because of the fact that they proved publicly that this philosopher was a graft taker. Again, this proves how the Gemara stresses the poison of philosophy and philosophers, that there is no good whatsoever in them at all. Besides the evil of their philosophy, they themselves, character, are evil. A person should stay remotely as possible away from philosophers and philosophy. That way it'll be solid in Emunah, in Torah. The Gemara discusses the meals that a person is obligated to eat on Shabbat. You know that during the week, a person may eat a meal or may not, except himself. If he misses a meal, there is no sin. On Shabbat, though, there is a chiyur. He's obligated to eat a certain number of meals. Question is, how large is that number? There is a machloket, a debate between the rabbis and the chachamim and Rabbi Chidke. Very important name, remember. The chachamim say that a person must eat 3 meals on Shabbat. 1 Friday night, 2 others on Shabbat. Chidke says a person must eat a total of 4 meals, 1 Friday night, and 3 more on Shabbat. What does the machloket consist of? He caught me finally fasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews, a reference to the man, the heavenly food of Friday. On Shabbat, he said, eat the man you have today, because today you will not find this man in the field. Today in Shabbat. Now the word today, the Gemara said, refers to the meal that a person is supposed to eat. How many times does it say the word today in the Pasuk? 3 times. Therefore, the Chachamim say, since it says the word tayon 3 times in the Pasuk, therefore you must eat 3 meals in the honor of the day. Total of 3 meals. Mishitka says, yes, certainly. But we also translate today as day, which means 3 meals during the day, aside from the meal of Friday night, as the Shabbat enters. Now, the law of God remains like the Chachamim, which means that persons obligated, to eat 3 meals on Shabbat, 3 regular meals. It means you must have lechem mishneh, 2 chalot at each meal. Friday night, Shabbat, the morning after Sari, and for Shalosh Sudod. There are some people, though they're not required so, there are some, for the sake of fulfilling the words of Rabbi Chidke, they eat a fourth meal. They call it a Seudah, the meal of Rabbi Fidka. This, of course, is not a requirement. That's that come. Feel that since it is the mitzvah to eat on Shabbat anyhow, and eat a lot, but every bit of food at first eats on Shabbat goes into Kiddushah. It is holy. That's why it's a mitzvah to eat more than usual on Shabbat. Besides the additional meal, eat more than the person's regular habits. But no harm can come of it. Although, of course, the Gemara said that generally, those to eat very little during the week, and on Shabbat they eat a lot. Generally, after Shabbat, they feel sort of ill. They have stomach trouble because of this. Yet this has nothing to do with the spiritual purity that comes to a person through this food. Ordinarily, a person eating can have the food turned to harm for the neshama too. Many reasons, according to Kabbalah, the tikkun, the correction of the bits of life, spark of life, or real limit are found in the food. If not done properly, can do harm to a person. This is during the week. On Shabbat, no harm can come from his eating this food. Every bit he eats is a mitzvah. And that's why a person should accustom himself to eating more on Shabbat than during the week. In addition, the Gemara says that since we have this law of eating three meals on Shabbat, we should be aware of the fact that a person who eats these three meals receives a special reward, special card for it, besides the mitzvah of the finial itself. First of all, a person fulfilled this mitzvah completely, eating three meals every Shabbat, he is assured that he will be saved from the suffering that will come prior to Mashiach coming. Mashiach comes, it's like the birth of a nation. And there are always the birth pains. The nation must go through pains. It's called Chevlei Mashiach. Person who eats these three meals on Shabbat regularly will be spared the suffering of the Chevlei Mashiach. Secondly, person will be spared too from the punishment of Gehinnom, certain type of punishment that everyone must suffer. This bit of Gehinnom will be saved from through the eating of these three meals. Third, too, we have before Mashiach the war of Gog and Magog, and this too, which entailed a lot of suffering and bloodshed, those who partake of the Shalosh Sudot regularly will not be included in the suffering of the war of Gog and Magog. So great is the mitzvah of eating the Shalosh Sudot Shabbat, which means that a person should not be little fast to shalom any one of these three meals. Third Sudaf to be considered as important as the first two. It should not be regarded as a minor meal where you cover it with just a piece of cake or fruit, though there are some opinions in Shulchan that say that it is permissible. Person should dress in the bat of eating his third Sudaf just as he does the other two. Yemena says that the mitzvah of obeying Shabbat is so great that if one obeys Shabbat in its entirety, being careful not to break any one of the acts of Shabbat in any form, then even if that person is the worst sinner on earth, which means that even if he worships idols, in the mitzvah of Shabbat, it's so great that it will help to forgive him for this. He said, even the sin of idol worship is forgiven the one who observes the Shabbat. The Gemara says that when Hashem gave the mitzvah of Shabbat to the Jews, the city of Meda, yes, that's first Shabbat. All the Jews then would have observed the Shabbat perfectly, then there would never have come a time that any nation could do harm to the Jews. If they had just observed that one Shabbat, this remark by the Pasuk, which says that on that Shabbat, when they were told not to go out to gather the men, Some people did go out to gather the men. Immediately after we find that they were attacked by the tribe of Amalek. Shows that this is the reason why they are attacked by other nations. Had they observed this first Shabbat, they would not have had the attack by Amalek, and they would never again have had the risk of being attacked or ruled by any nation on earth. Henceforth, there comes a time that the entire nation of Jews will observe carefully, perfectly, two Shabbat in a row, according to Halachot of Shabbat, they will immediately realize that Ge'ulah Shleima, Mashiach will come, if they keep two Shabbat in a row. Find that the Yerushalmi, the Gemara says, that they observe only one Shabbat. Jews keep one Shabbat, they would be, says the Midi. Is there a discrepancy? Is there a machon between the two? The answer is that the Rishu Yechayezal is saying, the Jews, in keeping one Shabbat, would have Mashiach come, when they must have two Shabbat now, one, in order to erase the sin of not having kept the first Shabbat, when they were told, that would erase that sin, then they need a second one, to cover for the mitzvah of obeying Shabbat in order to have Mashiach come amir. So great is the mitzvah of Shabbat that the Geulah Shleima beat the Mashiach and dependent upon this mitzvah of Shemitah Shabbat. The Yemenah says that Rabbi Yossi, one of the great rabbis of Yemenah, said, it's sort of a prayer, may it be my lot, I should be zocheh to be among those who eat shamosh sudot every Shabbat, three meals of Shabbat. Of course, this means, naturally, he ate three meals every Shabbat, understood, every good Jew does. But he said it for two reasons. One, as an ibut, his modesty, and he's hoping to be zocheh to this. The second, to arouse his students, followers, later generations, to the importance of it. Considering it to be you pray for, to be Zochetu, with this he would inspire people to eat Shamosh Sudot. He said a number of other things too. These same words, may it be my lot, he said, to be Zochet, to pray, daven, shachrit, with sunrise, at the moment of sunrise, which is called Vatri Kivka. Now, this means, too, that just as a person eats Shalosh Shabbat, should be at Tipu Pehim, the Seli each day, but Ikit. He also said that not just the Seli Shachrit with Bat Ikiz, just as the sun rises, but the Seli Nilchat, too, just before the sun sets. There are different times of Seli Nilchat. It's the Chag Gedolah, which means at 12:30 or at 1:30 daylight savings time, at the Chag Gedolah, and that's not the real mitzvah. The real mitzvah is the Soli at least after 3:30, the Chag Katana. But from 3:30 until sunset, the Yossi tells us that during that period of time, the best time is just before sunset. That's the best time, just as Shachrit is just at the point of sunrise. Rabbi Yossi also said in prayer that I be zochet to be among those who die of stomach ailment, the trouble with digestion. What is the chidush? The Yemenah said the majority of tzadikim die because of intestinal trouble, intestinal illness, intestinal diseases. Well, the chidush here is that we would think that a person should wish to avoid this. After all, with intestinal ailment, sometimes a person couldn't put on a tefillin, not clean, a sully. Despite this, Rabbi Yossi said that there is something more important than that, and that is that the reason why tzadikim die of intestinal ailment is so that their stomachs are cleaned out completely of any food, any type of earthly nourishment, which means that there is less for the worms to partake on, to feast upon. And also they come to heaven pure. There is no food in heaven. And this is a symbol of purity for them too. Rabbi Yossi also said, may it be my lot to be among those who begin Shabbat in the city of Tiberias and who end Shabbat in the city of Tzikoni. It's like Tzifet. Tiberias is in the low valley. It gets dark there early. In fact, Tzipori is the top of a mountain, and it gets dark very late. It's that to start Shabbat very early, among those who started earliest, and Shabbat, together with those who ended at the latest time. Rabbi Yossi also said, may it be my lot, be among those seats, students, in the Bet Midrash and the Yeshiva, tell them, sit down, it's time to start learning, not among those that tell them, get up, your classes are over, time for lunch or time to leave. Rabbi Yossi also said, may be my lot to be among those who collect money in tzedakah, because one who collects more tzedakah gets the bigger mitzvah than those that give. But not my lot to divide this money among the poor, among the institutions. But your spin, I might be suspected of being partial to one more than the other. Rather, I should avoid this suspicion. Instead of collecting money, but not to have to divide this money. Though that too is a big mitzvah, if one knows how to divide it, still to avoid being suspected. Despite this, to the Yossi says, deem my lot to be among those who is suspected of doing wrong when I am actually innocent. That's a very great suffering. One who is suspected innocently hurts that much more. Yet, despite this pain and hurt, the mitzvah of being suspected and going through this is the greatest kafara. Gemara tells us that the different rabbis of the Gemara spoke about credits they had, how each one was particular in certain mitzvot. Rabbi Nachman said, I shall receive credit in Olam Haba because I was always more particular about the mitzvah of eating Shavuot on the Shabbat. Other rabbis said, I was thinking about the mitzvah of tefillin. I never walked 4 steps without tefillin. Other ones said, I was thinking about the mitzvah of tzit. I was careful, too, to that respect. And one asked another rabbi, which mitzvah was your father most particular in? They answered the mitzvah of tzitzit. Once one of his tzitzit tore, and he wouldn't budge from that spot until he repaired it. The Akadosh says, person is very particular about a mitzvah.
The person finds himself being particular about a certain mitzvah more than others. This is a revelation that he came back as a Gilgul to perfect this mitzvah which he had failed in the past Gilgul. His neshama knows about this. He himself cannot be aware of it. But subconsciously, since his neshama knows, therefore the neshama drives him onward to obeying this mitzvah to a greater, higher degree, to make amends for that which he failed before. So the person who finds himself pursuing a certain mitzvah to a greater extent, he should continue to do so and try to elevate himself until that mitzvah is done with perfection. This does not mean that Chas V'Shalom should neglect other mitzvot,
because he's responsible for all. It's just that this is a main point in his life or in his past life. Ashrei to the person who is particular in all mitzvot as they should be. By doing all mitzvot, the person is zocheh to Olam Haba. Above all, to be zocheh to see during his lifetime, during our lifetime, becoming a Mashiach, be a Beit HaMikdash, be a Rabbi Meir, amen, be amen.